stuff at 4 a.m. when I have to deal with people. But now I got to do it in my office. And since I'm here and the lights on, people are going to knock on the door and want to come in and want to get actual work done. And I'm going to be like, no, I'm talking to a bunch of wankers from the UK.
Jesus
Christ. Hey, I'm not the UK.
But you are. No, I didn't say that.
Hey.
Hello, welcome to the Big Show. Yes, we're here to talk about the week's technology, all the big stories, all the things that have gone on, all the big what's happening, what's going on, what's... and Jeff's here as well. He's going to report back from the Kickstarter show in Las Vegas that he went to. Starting us off, great team to talk to. Campion with his Yorkshire flat cap, my boy.
How's everyone?
No need to fulfil the stereotype. However, have you just got in from work, mate?
Yeah, but not. It's been a bit of a late night tonight. It's been a steady week. Working from home today. I think it's just one of them days where you get a bit carried away and you really look at the clock. So.
Mate,
do you have the pinky blinder tabs in the back?
No, it's the wrong cap, mate. That is a flat cap. It is not a newsboy cap.
Oh,
that's
sorry.
Wrong cap, man. Yeah, you got to know your caps, boy. Because my wife takes the piss out of me for wearing a newsboy cap, aka a pinky blinder cap. And she says, you look like a farmer. What Chris is wearing is a farmer's cap. A proper...
Absolutely. Proper Yorkshire flat cap.
Yorkshire flat cap, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, fat clap.
Clap, there we go. Oh, Christ, I got off a train at 20 to 6 in the morning. Next to him, it's Jeff Gamet, freshly back from Las Vegas. What goes in Vegas stays in Vegas, apart from the Kickstarter show, though, mate.
Yeah, well, you know, it just depends on how much you want to brag about what happened in Vegas, what actually stays there, aside from Kickstarter.
Well, now, the thing is, I always take the piss out of CES and call it the No Price, No Date show. But this year, I've called it the Kickstarter show. But you were saying that actually it's not a million miles away. There was like 40% were Kickstarters.
I was really surprised at the number of products I was shown that had firm ship dates or ship windows.
Really?
And by ship windows, I mean like a specific month they're coming out this year.
Is that because their Kickstarter was ending then?
Yeah, so their Kickstarter must have been ending. Yeah.
Was it a good show, though, in general? Was it better than other years, or was it just a bit samey? I didn't really pay that much attention, I have to say.
It was good and different in some ways, but overall, it felt to me like the energy level was like many of the other years. So there wasn't anything that really made the show stand out so that it was markedly different from any other year.
Right, okay, fair enough. So nothing to report, then?
Nothing to report. Let's drink.
Beneath him, good man. Beneath him, it's Doc. Long time no see, mate.
It's been about 10 minutes.
How you doing, buddy?
Doing good. Like, you know, just steadily working. And I agree with you. I was watching the Kickstarter show and I was underwhelmed.
Yes, it wasn't that good. Doc was on the Mac show, which is why we kind of fleeced over there. If you're a listener to the Big Show but not the Mac show, but you should listen to both. Why not? Next thing, Righty Boy from Norwich.
Hello, mate. How are you?
I'm all right. You tweeted a picture of your university the other day. Not a soul.
Not a soul. Well, no, it's the first day back.
Did you forget the underarm deodorant that day or something?
No, it was the first day back. They came back and they're all in bed and they don't care. But yes, the students are back and we're in full flow and I'm hectic. I'm really hectic at the moment. I'm editing videos and God knows what's at the moment, but God, yeah, do you know what, this new job. I was going to apply for a new job, even though I've been in this job for 5 months, and then I went and saw the new job, and I thought, stuff it, I like my current job enough that I'm going to stay for a little bit longer, so.
Excellent.
Happy.
And you're on Bluetooth earphones.
I'm always on Bluetooth earphones.
Oh, really? They're going to last the show?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
These are really good. No, I heard the last Mac show where you were saying that they only last for 4 or 5 hours, but these ones, you did a copy 30 quid, and they last a week. Easy.
I've got to say, the ones that I got from the recommendations of Rich Harkness last quite well. They're very good. And the fact that you can plug them in afterwards with a hardwired connection is superb. Mm-hmm. And talk of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Rich Harkness, how the devil are you, mate?
I'm good, mate. It's lovely to be back again.
We've referenced your headphones multiple times, mate.
No, I know. But mine are still working great. Sometimes I have, I don't know if you guys ever have issues if you try to pair multiple devices with them. Any problem? I sometimes have problems with it, the audio chopping in and out a bit.
I've only used it once. No, I've only used it once. I tried it on Skype once, and it worked on Skype, but it threw the video out, so the video was asynchronous and jumpy and horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, but never mind. Chat room's chipping in already. Deepan wants to know if CES is as well attended now that the AVN Expo has moved. AVN is adult video, which was always run at the same time as CES in the past, and I think it's moved. Bronwyn's chipped in there and said it's moved elsewhere.
Well, yeah, they had to move it later in the month, and the reason being is because there were so many people in Vegas at the same time because of the two events.
Yeah.
The city infrastructure couldn't handle everything, so CES couldn't move because they had a 20-year contract on the time slot that they were using at the convention center, so the AVN conference moved a couple weeks later into the month. So that Vegas wouldn't just have a complete meltdown.
I've got to say, you know, normally, so things like MacStock and Macworld, my justification was if I'm speaking at those events, then I can get it past the wife. But in my own head, getting my attendance at CES was all about whether I could go to the AVN Awards as well. but now I can't.
Understandable.
Now I can't. I'm sorry, CES has lost all its mystique. The Week in Tech, what's going on? What's been happening? What's big? What's not big? Talking to AVN, there we go. straight in the chat room, Dot Rock in with his story. Blocking proxies, mate. Tell us about this.
So I'm really hoping that this is just reading the boys saying this to make the content providers feel better, and that they're not really going to become on a bastion of hope for these content blocking stories. Anyway, they're saying they're going to do more to stop customers from bypassing the country restrictions. And what this is about is, in, like, for instance, one of our buddies on one of our other shows happens to live in a place that makes my car, and he loves American shows, so he has to watch them on Netflix. And I'm going to assume he has to do some special trickery in order to watch all of those shows exactly when they come out on Netflix. And this is because the licensing deals that goes on between Netflix and these content owners, they still have it in their head that the world is digitally has borders the way that it physically has borders. And the internet has kind of been built on this thing about it's kind of open and free, and it's connected, you know, in a way that doesn't have those same douchey borders. So, like, the digital citizens want to watch what they want to watch when they watch it. I, for one, I will not lie, and I'm not going to say how I do it, but I watch a metric crap ton of UK TV. I'm intrigued by it, especially the cop shows, because our cop shows have a tendency to tell you the whole plot in 5 seconds because they think we're stupid, so they have to explain everything. Whereas the UK-style cop shows, which I like, they leave you stuck in figuring it out and using your head and trying to come up to things. And we don't have anything as epic as Broadchurch. They tried to remake it for the US, and they still gave away half the clues.
It was just going with.
So anyway, I just want to know what you guys thought about. Is Netflix really doing this? Are they just saying this in order to make these guys feel better? And do you agree with me that this international blocking of content kind of needs to go away, and these guys should just accept the new modern era and make content that's more global in the first place?
AZ's joined us in the studio, so we now got three people in the studio. If you want to come down and watch the shows, open house.
What's up, AZ?
He's in. I think that's a good point, because I'll go as far as to say that if there's a TV show that I like and I can't get it readily in the UK on Sky and set the series link and all that kind of stuff for the services that I pay for, then I am quite happy to take it down off news groups and that kind of stuff, because I don't feel like I'm doing anything wrong there, because I cannot buy it physically. Quickdraw was an example of that. There is nowhere out, there is no outlet in the UK for Quickdraw whatsoever. And if Netflix isn't carrying something, then, you know, and I want to watch it, I know I'm doing something that's wrong, but if they're saying, well, the stuff that's on Netflix US and the stuff that's on Netflix UK, and I can watch both by using the proxy tunnel, then, Yeah, I think that's pretty easy to do, and I'm quite happy to do that. I don't think I'm doing anything wrong. But I do understand that the world does have borders, and the world has borders in terms of licensing and also in terms of promotion. So, you know, the reason that we get a film after the US is the fact that all the stars physically can't go to the red carpet event in Los Angeles and then come to the red carpet event in London on the same day. So it has to be different days. But I think, you know, I agree with Doc, there is a need to see that this is a smaller world.
Well, it's the thing, it's almost the worst kind of censorship, really, because you're paying for Netflix. I pay for Netflix, and yes, I use Jiggery Pokery to look at Netflix in other countries. And it just seems crazy to penalise people who are paying for a service, and these licensing rules or laws, whatever they are, say that you can't look at them in other countries, because this, you know, Netflix is now 130 countries now, and it should be that this content should be available across the entire network. It's crazy that you pay for a service, but you only get a portion of what they do. Because I know Canadian Netflix is my favourite, because they have more shows, European and American, than anyone else has. But I am paying. I'm not stealing. I am paying Netflix a fee. So they should really sort out the licensing laws to allow us to see all of the content that they have.
Okay, you just nailed it right there. It's the licensing. And yeah. And I'm not saying this in defense of Netflix or any other streaming service, but it's the licensing. So when you pay for Netflix, you're paying to see content that's licensed in your area. And that's why you can't see everything everywhere in the world. I think it's total crap. We should be able to look at content like this as if we live in a world without borders. But
exactly.
But we still are dealing with a distribution system that is firmly rooted in the 1950s. And that's a big problem, because we don't live technologically in a 1950s content distribution world anymore. So it needs to change. But that's the big problem right now. It's the licensing for regions.
Is it Netflix that ultimately need to leverage this? Then, you know, if they become big enough, especially as now they've gone to so many countries worldwide and they get popular enough, will they ever have the clout to turn around to these people who are producing the content to say, well, you know, if you want to be on Netflix, then you have to agree to it going global all at once?
I was just going to say exactly the same thing, Rich. Is it something that Netflix are going to have to get tougher at now they've got the bigger market out there, just to really make sure that they can push this content out worldwide? Because the alternative is either grey market or illegal downloading.
I think you need to get Netflix and Amazon to team up.
Oh, yeah.
They both say, awesome. Give us worldwide distribution rights, then we'll see a change.
One of the things I think they should do, and it sort of alludes to what Chris said, you're Netflix, and someone's coming in and says, hey, you know, we're talking with you guys, we want to license show, and they go, yeah, but we only want to show it in the U.S. because of X reason. Netflix should say, okay, then we're not going to take your show, and you're going to miss this opportunity to get whatever that number is in the U.S. and say they were going to do U.K. And they'll be like, well, if you give us a global license, maybe we'll pay you a little bit more, or maybe you will start to gain. What has always been proven, I guess, what I'm trying to say is they normally gain sales once they branch out past their original, I'm afraid people are going to steal it. Almost every instance has been proven that when you put it out there and you let people buy it, if they like it, they'll buy more. And I use Spooks because, excuse me, I looked long and hard to find the DVDs for Spooks, also for the Guy Ritchie original movies that then got spun off by all these people. We only know of like three Guy Ritchie movies in the U.S., but it turns out that there's like five and they're all connected in a certain way, like Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels and Two Heads in a Duffel Bag turned out to be awesome, like the movies. Six movie series. And we can't get the rest, but I found them when I was in Japan. And it's like, I gladly pay for them, but this shouldn't be that hard. I mean, like, it's just in a weird thing. So I would like to see Netflix say, we won't show your program unless you give us a global license. And then these guys will soon start to realize, hey, we want to be where Netflix is at, because Netflix is the iTunes, I guess, when it comes to video.
Yeah.
So, again, that's why I hope they're positioning here, not really meaning to do so. I hope they're just saying this, like telling the wife, yeah, I'll do the dishes. Yeah, I'll cut the grass. I hope that's what this announcement is about, is we're just yang the content licensors who don't get that they need to let this crap go.
Yeah, I think that's the point exactly, is the fact that Netflix aren't doing anything wrong other than blocking proxy tunnels in some way. And the content providers are going, oh, no, no, we sold it to the UK, we didn't sell it to the US, we didn't sell it to Scandinavia, we didn't sell it to Brazil, therefore you have to control it. And they're like, well, we just sell the service, you know, if someone gets a proxy tunnel, someone gets a proxy tunnel, and the content provider's going, no, 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 it's down to you to solve, not us, because you're the conduit. And they'll go, oh, yeah, we're making a real big effort to do this. Don't do anything, fellas.
Hey, on your note, can I ask you a question? Do you feel that this kind of stuff also leads to, like, hey, car manufacturer, you made your car with X amount of power, so all the people getting speeding tickets and doing illegal stuff with it is your fault?
No, apples and pears, mate. Apples and pears. I don't see that at all. I think, you know, when you generate content and you sell it to someone to sell for you, then this is the photography is a great analogy, because I create images that I then put on stock websites that I then make licensed. And I shot a picture of a guy who was walking with his gun dog, shooting pheasant, carrying a broken shotgun over his arm. And I said, do you mind if I take a picture? He said, no, I don't. He said, but I don't want it used on anything that's anti-hunting. Okay, that's fine. And the license that I've got on the stock website where it's been used, and it has been used a couple of times, it says on it, license is provided, person has signed the model release, but this is not to be used on anything which is anti-hunting, only pro-hunting. And as a result, it's been used in a pro-hunt magazine for, I think, British Gamekeepers or something like that association. Cool. So
it's awesome.
That's what licensing is about, is it's saying, here's the content I produced, this is what I want it used for. And that is a positive, and I wouldn't have used that image without that guy's permission, without that restriction upon it. So, there has to be some restriction in licensing. I don't have a problem with that. I think the frustration is the fact that if you're talking about it's a monetary thing, and this is where I think Netflix is probably being held to task by the content providers, is they're buying the content provider's content and they're saying, okay, well, we'll license it to you for US, and Netflix going, oh, great. And then every Netflix user across the UK or across the world is using a proxy tunnel and finding that content regardless. And they're going, hang on, you only bought the US license and you're sending it worldwide. And Netflix going, oh, no, it's not us. Well, it kind of is, because proxy tunnels is a known thing. This is a thing that you can use, and we know that you can use it, and you're not defending against it, therefore you're condoning it. And I do have some sympathy with that, is that if you're not careful, what you'll end up with is Netflix paying 50 cents per user for a license for the US, and everyone in the whole world watching it, and then when that content provider goes, well, we'll sell it to the UK, the UK, because now we've actually had it already, because we've got it via a proxy tunnel, so we're not paying you anything there for it. Which is a danger.
Do you ever think there could be a scenario where Netflix may, whether it be through licensing cost, actually try and go almost for a dual pricing model where it's for your locality, for your country that you're watching in, pay one fee and you get the content for that. So the block VPN, but actually if you want to watch worldwide content, if they can strike a deal, you pay more.
Yeah, but
that's kind of like phone companies.
That's a logical thing, but the problem that you've got is that that's an amount of money that is a cost to Netflix, and Netflix don't have to worry about that, because they know that anyone who wants that content will get it by other means. So actually, they don't need to enter into that negotiation and say and start offering to pay more, because they'll know that people will get it regardless. And if they don't take any measures to stop people, then people will still get it regardless.
Yeah, I think that was my point. If they do take the measures, if they put the blocks in, then they're going to go with the dual pricing model.
But I think the thing is that that won't generate any more income for Netflix, because if there's a dual pricing model, they can pay for that dual pricing model, but everyone who wants that will actually go and get it from somewhere else, and it'll just be a cost to Netflix in the end.
Legal content, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you guys pay more for, like, import records and import CDs like we do here?
Yeah.
I always thought that was crazy, too. Like, I mean, I understand a little bit more because of shipping, but... Yo, it would be like a disc that was 14 bones would be like $55 if I wanted to get, you know, something from like a UK or a German group, whatever. And I always thought that was crazy. I was like, I don't mind paying extra. I almost would pay double. But like when it's like triple or four up, just because it's quote-unquote import. Uncool.
Yeah, he certainly used to play at least twice as much from my memory, and you got like one track extra or something. That was about it.
Yeah, they did used to stick in the bonus track to try to entice you to buy it.
Or it was in a different language.
Literally, what we would do is when we wanted that one epic like hip-hop record or that one epic like house record, because UK has some seriously good house, what we used to do is get all the DJs together, and we would buy one import album. And then we would go make acetate cuts of the rest of it so that we all could have it, because it's the only way we could afford it.
Shh, that's a crime.
It's old school. I'm too late. I passed the statute of limitations now because we've been digital for almost 15 years. But
best not come to the UK then, because there's no statute of limitations on criminal offences.
Really? No. Didn't know that.
Luckily, they did this in the United States.
I can get deported to the UK? Hold on, let's talk about this more then.
Yeah, deportation from Hawaii.
That ties in nicely with the story that I'm looking at.
Put the link in the chat room, Rich. Come on then. You know the new routine, mate. You got to put the link in, otherwise you don't get the story.
Sorry.
This is where you wish you'd learned Command C, Command V.
Yeah.
See, I'm being nice and waiting to drop mine in so that...
That means it's a porn story. So get in there, Rich, for Christ's sake. Oh, righty's boys in. Righty boys in. UK government online copyright infringement. You've got to have a banker. Come on, Rich. You've been on before. You need a banker, mate. Doc
Rock took me other story that I was going to use.
Well, you got a couple of minutes to find another. Go for it.
Righty, go for it.
So I'm not impressed. So the government are proposing to raise the maximum sentence for copyright infringement to 10 years. And apparently it's 2 years at the moment. So they're putting the feelers out and seeing what people think about this. And the Open Rights Group are looking at saying, actually, this is a bit harsh. And they're saying that, the government is kind of saying that copyright infringement is as bad as stealing physical goods. And I don't think that is a thing. I think it's a less serious offence. I don't know what everyone thinks about, copyright infringement. Everyone's kind of doing it, and it follows on from the Netflix story that if they stop us doing... using proxies to look at American shows or whatever, we're going to find other ways to do it. But the threat of 10 years in prison is pretty harsh. Well, 2 years is pretty harsh as well, but 10 years is pretty harsh. And there's been a petition online. Only 1,000 people signed it, which I thought was quite weird. I thought more people would sign it. I just wonder what everyone would think, because I went and saw Star Wars last week and I paid £30 for the privilege. And I had to listen to people munching their popcorn and get up for the loo. And I'm not a fan of going to the cinema. And they've been talking for many years about releasing films at the same time online that they release them in the cinema. And it's been going on for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. And I'm sure we've talked about it here on the show before. And I would pay a premium to watch a film at the same time released in the cinema at home. I'd pay, I don't know, 20, 25 quid to watch at home with my family. But they've never done that. So sometimes the content isn't available and the only way you can get it is illegally or via proxy.
Can I just put that in context for 1 second?
John.
CPS guidelines. I'm on the CPS website, cps.gov.uk.
Mm-hmm.
CPS guidelines for rape of a 16-year-old or older is 5 years.
So you're seriously telling me that 5 years for that and 10 years for...
The single offence of rape by a single offender is 5 years of custody for a victim over 16 or over. That's on the CPS website.
God's sake!
That's what gets me about this whole thing. Sentencing is ridiculous compared to some serious violent crimes. You know, somebody copying a copy of Star Wars or something like that, for crying out loud. It just shows you how out of date it all is.
You know, and out of date, it's not even a thing they've even brought into as law yet. So they really aren't thinking about this, are they?
Are they
trying to be so heavy-handed that they're trying to discourage us? But that is... that's ridiculous.
Hang on. If you want to hit the 10-year mark, right, to just match, let's match that 10-year threshold.
Okay.
In order to get a 10-year custodial offence... you've got to have rape accompanied by aggravating factors with a victim aged 13 or over, but under 16.
It's crazy. That is crazy. Well, you know, we have similar problems here in the sense that you could do like sort of what you was talking about, like a really, really heinous crime, and the sentence is 2 to 3 years. But if you got caught with about 3 fingers worth of weed, it's automatic 10.
Yeah.
We have similar things. As a matter of fact, you could get caught with 3 fingers worth of coke and it's 2 years, but 3 fingers worth of weed is 10. That's what's insane. Methamphetamines, yeah, and stuff like weird. That. So what happens is the lobbyist groups, and this is American explaining, I'm not sure how it works in your way, so please correct me if I'm wrong. The focus groups that work on the sentences for the rape victims, they don't have the money to deal with the politicians, as we call them, to get them to fight for these stronger sentences, so they have weak sentences. And in our case, it's mostly a crime created by men towards, you know, other people. And it's normally crimes created by the quote-unquote elite men, not to get into any racial terms, and against other victims. So they don't get what they want. But the other way around, the drug crimes and the piracy crimes have a tendency to be done by the poor kids or the poor people or whatever, and it's a really, really strong sentence for something that's really, really crazy. Because even for us, like for piracy, it's like 6 years, if I remember correctly. That's insane, and that goes to show you that the laws are still getting paid for by the people with the money, and the media people have the money to pay for this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is there any numbers showing how many people are actually convicted in the UK of copyright infringement? What's the sort of size and scope of this?
I'll have a look now while you discuss the hypothesis of what that may be as a figure.
You want arrest or convictions?
Convictions. The reason I knew the rape stuff was the fact that I followed a story today that Martin Daubney posted that 1 in 3 prosecutions for rape end up in acquittal. And that's, you know, how much money is the CPS wasting in not having a case for that kind of stuff? It's crazy. Who will actually go to jail for copyright infringement? There are no stats. There you go.
It's crazy.
For me, is this just a story out there just to satisfy production houses, you know?
Well, I want to say yes, but then the other part of me, there's been a lot of talk recently coming out of the UK about like trying to still unlock the encryption. And of the people they were talking about, they said the terrorists, the pedophiles, and the copyright infringers. I was like, what? Why the last one had nothing to do with the first two? And all three of them are mostly fear-mongering. So I thought that was kind of weird. And these guys still don't get that if you open the back door on any of these devices, it's open for everyone, not just for government.
Yeah, they so don't get that.
Exactly.
I think have you guys had the ability to look at a show called Making a Murderer on Netflix, or is it a US only thing?
Yeah, no spoilers, Doc. I'm only on about episode 4 or 5 now.
It's in the UK, yeah.
Serial was.
Brother, when I started watching that, the first thing that came to mind was this is the exact reason why we can't let the cops have full access to the quote-unquote encrypted data. They can't be trusted to do their job normally. And it's not conspiracy theory or anything weird. When you put people of power in a position to sometimes flex their power even though they know they're doing the wrong thing, they have a tendency to do it. It's been going on for decades, long before there was ever a phone or ever a need for encryption. Back in the days when encryption was writing in one particular thing and then putting oil or acid on it in order to make the words come out over a candlelight, people were abusing their power. So it has nothing to do with devices. And can you just imagine if cops had access to all of the stuff, you know, we say on our phones, right?
Yeah, no one should have that access.
Yeah, that would be bad if we saw what you were typing, Rod Doc, I'm sure.
Especially what I sent you this morning.
With your like, 3 fingers of weed. For that. You and your 3 fingers of weed, mate.
Right, so why it just grows right outside?
You don't gotta do much. Fingers, no problem.
But no, it's really funny that there's a huge disconnect between tech in general, whether it's the Netflix thing or the copyright infringement thing or even the encryption thing, and what the lawmakers are still trying to enforce. And somehow they have this idea that it would slow down the type of crimes they're talking about. And these crimes existed in, from the statistics I recently discovered, more so when we didn't have the tech that we have, not less. So U.S. crime is down almost 27%, 67% on violent crimes. And yet they're still trying to pass these laws because if we unencrypt the phone, we can find the bad people.
Yeah. Rich, you got a story.
Yeah, I just thought it was an all right one.
as a last resort, I thought I'd put this one in, says Rich. Go on.
Well,
I think it's a good story.
It's interesting to me because it's funny because it's something that I was toying with buying a GoPro, and it seems GoPro are not doing that well. It's quite a new story that's come out today saying that they're in a little bit of trouble. They announced that they're laying off 7% of their workforce, and they've lowered their revenue projections to, quote-unquote, slower than expected over the holidays. And yet, they until recently held over 70% of the market last year. So that's just an interesting development, really.
So as a professional person who uses GoPros on a regular basis, let me tell you a story, because I own GoPro HD 2s, GoPro 3 Plus and 4s.
Right.
Okay. Typically, out of the GoPro HD 2, I would get roughly about an hour from the battery, there or thereabouts. From the 3, I got around 40 minutes, and from the 4, I get roughly 20.
Oh, whoa. That's not good.
Okay.
The reason that GoPro fails is because their batteries are shite. And they have focused on changing the form factor and making it smaller and smaller and smaller. Well, actually, the original form factor wasn't that bad. And what they haven't done is move with the battery technology. One of the things that I've always criticized Canon for is the fact they bring out a new camera and they bring out a new form factor on the battery. So you look at the 550D and the 1100D and those kind of things, they all use different battery forms. And that changes the battery grip, and it changes the battery itself that you have to buy, and it therefore changes the chargers that you need to carry around. If you lose the charger, you have to buy another charger. What they've done just of late, though, is the fact that... I'm sorry for the noise there in the background, but Martin's washing up for some reason. What the fuck?
Good lad. Cleanliness is next to godliness.
Is that podcasting first?
This is not a pub, mate. You don't need to wash the glasses. We'll wash them at the end. People have a dirty glass and live with it, all right?
The beer can pop open, too.
The problem that you've got with GoPro is the fact that they haven't cottoned on to the fact that what people want from a mobile camera platform is battery power. Because Canon have worked out that the LP6 actually delivers, the LP6E actually delivers fantastic battery delivery. And now all of the Canon products run on LP6Es, and a lot of external products, because they see that being a stable camera battery platform, are also running. So Blackmagic are running on the LP6E as well. And there's lots of other stuff that's coming in that will run on LP6.
It's a shame, is it? Because that's like to people like me who is a sort of lay market, you know, for this kind of stuff. When you think of filming outdoors and filming rugged and you know, needing waterproofing and all that kind of thing, I think people always refer to it as like, oh, I need a GoPro. Just the same as you would say you need sellotape. You know, it's kind of become a generic term. So they must be doing something seriously wrong. I'm shocked at it. I expected the company to be doing well and to be growing quickly. So they must really be doing something.
Well, I bought the 4 Pluses when they first came out. Day one, I'm pre-ordered on 4 Pluses. I got the 4 Plus, the 4 Black out, rather. I got the 4 Blacks, and I immediately realised I should have bought the 3s. And when I wanted two more GoPros for a job, because I needed 6 of them, I actually went back and I bought 3 Pluses, because the batteries will last longer. And now I very rarely run them off the batteries anyway. I've actually got 23,000 milliamp hour battery packs. I plug those in and it runs a camera for about 36 hours.
Nice.
Is there a scenario with GoPros that a lot of the people that are going to use them either have already got them or they've got an action cam of some other type, and therefore it's a fairly maybe stagnant marketplace now? They've maybe exhausted the market.
I think it may be for the time being, maintenance. Yeah. I think you've got a point there.
I've got a GoPro Hero. I won it at work just before Christmas. And initially I thought, that's great, I'm going to give it a go. I've not played with one. Got to be honest though, now after sort of fastening it to the dog when I've taken it out for a walk, after sort of letting my daughter run around with it, I ain't got a clue what to do with it.
What does a Yorkshireman do when he's given a GoPro? He fastens it to the dog.
Well, you know,
oh my god, you should.
It was either that or put it on my cricket bat.
You should totally have cap cam.
I'm at the scenario now. I don't really feel that I personally have much of a need for it, so I'm wondering if actually the market's from it's a fairly limited market and actually people have got what they need at the moment. Maybe in a year or two time, as technology moves on, it might refresh again. But like you say, Ewan, if actually the version 2s or version 3s are as good or better in some scenarios than the 4s, what's the point of upgrading?
You know, amongst the laughter, one of the things that really hurt them recently, I assume, is when they first came out, they were the only cats in the market in the playing field. And they did a great job of marketing, and they were smart. They niched it. They went towards the extreme sports guys, whatever. And then the cell phone cameras got better and better and better and better. They had no way to fight that off. And then the real camera guys like Sony and JVC and Panasonic and even Ricoh, they all jumped into the business and they all started making action cameras. What all of these guys did, every single one of the other makers, their camera is water resistant from the gate, no special housing, right? So the Sony action cam, the JVC, the Ricoh, they all can handle rain and splashing and whatever's without a housing. If you're going to go more than a meter under, you need a housing. But GoPro, you need a housing just to splash it. And then so their unique selling points slowly got taken away. And then so for the average person to use a portable camera, they can just use a phone. And for the extreme athletes, most of them are dyed-in-the-wool, go-hard fans, but the kind of guys that are like, what should I do? Should I dip in or dip out? You can buy a Sony-branded action camera for half the price that doesn't require housing, and the battery lasts longer. So they lost all of their unique selling points, and they didn't do anything to fight it off.
It's going to get worse, isn't it? Because you've got I forget the name of it, but you've got that is it the Droid Turbo 2 or something, which is like a super tough phone that's on sale in the US. And if you've got something like that, and then you make it waterproof as well, you're just going to be able to fling that thing around like crazy, and you know, attach it to whatever you like whilst you're filming sports.
I think other people have come in and done stuff, but I think the fact that their own product didn't expand and didn't improve necessarily. I mean, they're talking about higher resolutions, but one of the things that GoPro's always done is cheat the resolution. You know, the original GoPro shot 1080p in quotes, but actually it didn't. It only ever shot 1440 by 900, and all it did was then cheat the cut on it so that it fitted.
Oh, that's kind of crappy.
Well, so they've always done that. You know, they're saying that the current, and I might be slanderous in what I'm about to say here, perhaps, but my understanding is, and I may be wrong, that the 4K video that you get out of the current GoPro 4 Plus isn't 4K, it's resized higher resolution. And I got a question this week from Mark, one of the listeners, and he said, Mark from Hoya, and he said, I'm taking my camera away with me. I want to shoot the best resolution I possibly can for then cropping. So, you know, I was thinking about doing the 4.3 at 1440, and then I can move the video up and down in the frame in the 1080 to get the best resolution. And I'm like, yeah, but actually suss out what the native resolution of the sensor is from some of the forums, and then shoot in that resolution, and then you can expand or contract wherever you go. And I got to say, I've shot stuff with the old GoPros, and you shot 1080, and it wasn't as good as if you shot 1440 and then resized it. So,
wow.
It's kind of crazy when you think about it.
If you Google GoPro native resolution, and GoPro 3 Plus or GoPro 4 native resolution, you'll find it's actually different from what it says it actually shoots. So, I'm surprised, Rich, but I'm not surprised, because I don't think they've expanded their product. I don't think they've they've really, you know, they had that jacuzzi market, as you say. They had that name.
Yeah, they had the name, absolutely.
You know, you GoPro'd it, but they haven't capitalized on that because they produce shit products. Mm-hmm. And the little shuttle thing, the little tiny one, I'm looking at that. It shoots 1080p video, and you're like, well, okay, what about time-lapse? No, it doesn't do time-lapse. What about interface with it? You know, the interaction with the menu? No, there's no interaction with the menu. It's just on or it's off. And you're like, I don't want to buy that then. Stuff off.
Yep.
Plus the battery in it.
Yeah, that's a bit of a deal breaker.
Switch it on, you don't get certain resolution.
You remember the random talk about like Apple possibly dragon denning or shark tanking GoPro? What if it was in order to get access to Apple's battery? That would be kind of epic. And that could, I don't know if they need the money per se. Well, I guess according to what you guys said, they do need the money. But it'd be really nice if they could catch up with a battery person or a company that's doing really, really well in batteries, whether it be Sanyo or Apple or, you know, somebody who really expertly runs batteries. It would be great because I still love my cameras, but I'm with you. My 4 sucks so bad it sits in the drawer. I use my 3 the majority of the time.
Yep, 3 significantly better. I think that's the bigger issue is the fact that you know, you've got version 2, version 3, version 4, and each single one of them has different form factors. Sorry, fellas, I don't want to interrupt your conversation or anything.
Ewan, I love you, man.
The audience is forgetting its place here. Jesus Christ. Speak when you're spoken to, all right?
Live vlogging of the studio audience on British Ted Network.
You can't get the audiences these days.
Okay, what I love about the studio shot that you're showing is that your studio audience, they're all sitting there on their iPads watching the show, even though they're right there in the room with you.
No, to be fair, they're all on audio links. And you can tell that Muller's been drinking because I had to he's sharing an audio link with AZ here on the left. But he had to take, I motioned to him to take the ear plug out of his left ear and put it in his right ear because then he'd be closer rather than touching heads.
Oh, God. They look like salt and pepper shakers.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Martin, are you relaxed or drunk?
Martin's relaxed. He's got to drive home in a minute, but but he's got the iPad that he's got off me. So there's my old iPad. There
we go. Best driving that new iPad Pro.
And my old iPad Pro, and there's my new iPad Pro with cellular connection. So
nice.
Not the easiest. Shut up, Wheaters.
You'll be what are you growing back there? That's not weed, right?
I'm not growing. No, that's plastic. Actually, it's fake. It's fake grass from IKEA. You know. Simple stuff. And then the Guardians of the Galaxy pops and he's got a Guinness, so he's happy. Stuff the rest of you. That's why it's getting a bit leery in here. Sorry. Who put a story in? Someone put a... Camps, you put a story in, mate. Go for it.
I've put one in.
I noticed as well in the doc that we are saying that you're champs now.
Yes.
Champs. Yes. Chris Champion. Talk us through your story, dude.
So, my story, this started off as a Kickstarter last year. Doppler Labs have basically created what looks like a really, really high-tech hearing aid. So the scenario behind it is they've created these wireless earbuds that can connect to an app on your phone, and then you can sync the earbuds, you can tune them to the sort of to the sounds that you're wanting to hear in this scenario that you're using them in. So Coachella are going to be exclusively having them at their US gig this year. They're going to be offering them to attendees beforehand. And I suppose the scenario here is that you can tune these high-tech hearing aids to be able to get the best music experience is the way that they're pushing these. So when I'm reading this story, I'm sort of thinking to myself, when I go to a live concert, I'm going for the atmosphere, I'm going for the crowd, I'm going to see the band, I want everything. Whereas it feels to me a little bit like using them at a scenario like Coachella means you're going to cut out the noise, you're going to cut out all the ambient sounds around you to focus in and really ultimately get the best out of the music. So I'm interested in Doc's view as a bit of an audiophile on this. I can personally see if you're going to the opera, you really want to hear every single bit of music. I can see a use case for them there. I'm struggling to see them in sort of big audience scenarios, but I just thought it was a really interesting use of technology to be able to channel out almost the noise, the conversations around you to listen to the music, and how that almost narrows the use case in some scenarios.
I don't understand. So I want to say your dead salary rate. Okay, like back when I was in the mainland U.S., and, you know, say I want to go see Van Halen. So I've seen him about 80 times. And they could be at, you know, one of the Nassau Coliseum. They could be like right down the road. But we would look at the chart and be like, yo, if we wait a week, we can go to Philly and hear it in a better sounding place. It's the same band, same set, same music, same drugs, same everything. But you would want to hear it in a better sounding place. So part of it is, yeah, I would want to hear the inside concert versus the outside concert. But part of what makes a concert so epic is the funky, like, patchouli smelling sweat, the noise, the bouncing.
Is
people
the
bumping
shit
into
audio
you.
Mix? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you kind of ignore the shit audio mix because of the, you're rocking with like thousands of people who are just as insane about a band as you are. If you want to hear it epically, you do it at home on your B&W speakers, you know, and a pint of whatever you're drinking, and you relax. But in concert mode, that's about togetherness, yo. I mean, so, like, I don't know. I don't think I personally would want to have sound enhancing hearing devices at a concert unless I couldn't afford the tickets to sit so far in the back where it would actually help.
So I'd like to offer the counterpoint to that, because I love the Fun Loving Criminals, and I went to see Fun Loving Criminals at Leicester Civic Hall, mostly because my mate's best mate is the drummer. And I got free tickets. But I do love them anyway. So I went in and we got there, and it is the acoustically it's like a public toilet. I mean, it's friggin' awful. It's not a great venue anyway. They turn up. Someone who's adjusted the audio wants sacking because it's horrific. I would have killed for a decent set of earphones that would have given me the correct mix that there should have been, because, you know, the drums were reverberating off every surface that there was. Huey was completely lost in terms of audio. It was crap. It was the worst mix I've ever heard in my entire life from one of the bands that I love the most.
I have been there. So, yeah, I get that. I have been in that position. I completely get you there. That's a tough one. That's actually a good question.
The plane leads Fun Loving Criminals. We should do Big Show from there.
Yeah, no, I could probably arrange that, actually. That's not that hard. I don't think many people go there. Bronwyn has to Google the Fun Loving Criminals.
Oh, Jesus!
Stick him up, punk.
Hey, you, don't judge. Not everyone has the opportunity.
She's dead to me now. She's dead to me now.
Every cool band right away.
She's dead to me now. That's it.
You know why Bronwyn doesn't know Fun Loving Criminals? Because she's off herself.
So scenario then, these earbuds are great.
It's a song, whoever made the Buzz song, you're fired too, because that's a FLC song, damn it.
Right, anyway, because hang on, Doc, because Chris is getting to the price, I think. Go on, mate.
No, I think so. The scenario with these earbuds then, great for listening to music that you want to listen to if you're in a crap venue with poor sound. But if you want to if you want to go to a decent venue, or basically you just want to be out there listening to music, enjoying the atmosphere, then leave them at home, take them to the opera.
Yeah, and they're $300.
Yeah.
Oh!
Boom! There we go. That's the reason to stick your credit card back in your wallet.
But they're still okay. 600k on Kickstarter, which I find amazing.
Yeah, but the one thing that I thought was quite impressive was the fact that there's 5 hours of battery life. I mean, if you look at the picture I put up of these are tiny, tiny little things that fit in your ear. You don't put the case up to your ear. It's the little tiny bits on the inside that you put up to your ear, and they're awesome.
And then the charging station for them is the box.
Yeah, but this is where
which is clever.
Yes, but this is where I really fall down, because it says out of the box there's 5 hours of battery life, but it's included with a carrying case which will give you another 10 hours. Well, that's fine, but you've got to stick them back into charge, which, you know, is typical of Bluetooth stuff. You can't charge it while you're using it.
No good for Glastonbury.
No. So I love the idea, but, you know, Bluetooth has got to get better with battery.
The reason they last so long is they're powered by the placebo effect, and that there's actually nothing in them at all. but there's two things that strike me about these whether they work or not, but if you're using them in a concert setting, number one, I've not been to any festivals, but I gather what goes on. You're going to lose them, aren't you? Let's face it. Or you're going to lose one of them. If you're jumping around like
a shit-faced you are.
Yeah, well, if you're jumping around like you do at concerts and stuff and people are knocking into you, one of those buggers is going to fall out and be on the floor and then kicked away before you know what's happened. So bang goes your audio experience there. And if you're at a concert and it's extremely loud like they tend to be, how are these tiny little things going to be able to mask that out? I just don't see how the physics of that works.
Well, sticking something in your ears makes a huge difference to what it masks out. I mean, there's a certain element of this that if you put these in your ears, you probably find that the sound will improve massively at a fun-loving criminals conference.
Yeah, unless it'll, it's a bit cold. I get, you know, it'll mute it to some extent, but to then improve the sound as well when it's that loud.
I presume that these would then give you ability to control volume as well. So if something's too loud,
you can do it all from the app. Yeah. It says in the article.
So I mean, one of your problems is if you turn volume down, then your frequency change. Well, it doesn't change, but your frequency will become more acceptable to your ear.
There's also the issue of bone conduction and when music's that loud as well.
Yeah, but I mean, to a certain degree, the greater harm that will come to your ear is going to be through auditory noise rather than conductive noise, isn't it?
Yeah. But you're still gonna.
Unless your liver's vibrating itself to pieces at 7 hertz or something from.
Yeah, that'll even.
That Russian cannon never really worked, did it?
And bone conduction sounds like a Jeff Gammon Kickstarter.
Yep.
Bone conduction. We have a title.
What was that sound again? What did they call it?
Jeff Gammon.
Doc, you're not going to believe what I have for stretch goals.
Oh, God, I miss you, Jeffrey Gammon. That's awesome. Dude,
come visit me in Colorado.
Dude, it's legal. I'm coming.
Excellent. I can't get out. No, the thing is, I'd go and visit Jeff, but I can get blood tested for 3 months afterwards, and it'll still show up. So I can't do it.
Well, why don't you come hang out with me and
for 3 months?
Go to the distillery where I buy the gin for you.
Yeah, I can do that because it's out of my system in 24 hours. That's no worries.
Yeah,
it's just the weed I can't do.
Oh, that's so funny. Bone conduction. That's going to be stuck in my head for a minute.
Weed 28 days, says Muller, playing with 70% of my entire business. Right, come on, Jeff. We've been waiting, mate. Stick your story in.
All right.
I'm not sure I want to click this link.
No, it's totally safe. Believe it or not.
Okay.
Oh.
All right, so...
all I got was a login.
Seriously?
I got a login notice to the New York Times. I've got it.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, well, it's a New York Times story, so yay paywalls. Here's the deal. There's a bug that cropped up in Nest thermostats recently where they just shut off and you can't get them to run again. And when it started cropping up was when there's a really bad cold snap in the United States. And so people were waking up in the morning to find that their thermostat had shut off their heater for their house or apartment, and they couldn't turn it back on, and so their place had just been getting colder and colder.
I woke up to a dead nest.
Yeah,
one of the quotes.
Yeah,
that's what.
So the process to bring it back to life is ridiculous. You have to take it off the wall, plug it into USB, do this charge thing for a certain amount of time, put it on the wall, do this button pressing thing, and then charge it up again for a certain amount of time. And I mean, it's like stupid what you have to do to try and get it to work again. And so I'm seeing a big problem here because, you know, people's thermostats stopped working, their heater stopped working. But I'm wondering if this is indicative of a bigger problem where people are smartifying their homes and are not taking into account the possibility that major portions of their home systems can stop working and they have no way to fix it.
Thank you for the belt, whoever that was, by the way. That was really cool.
It's almost like it's when smart devices are no longer smart.
No, I mean, there's a good point in this because I think this is one of those things that you just, you know, you get into your life and you suddenly realise that technology can do something for you. And then all of a sudden you can't do it yourself anymore because technology did it for you. And I've had it this week with the Wemo. You know, the Wemo works great. I love the fact that I can switch my radiators on when I roll over in bed in the morning, especially on cold mornings like this morning, then get in the shower. And when I get to work, the office is warm already because I've switched it on an hour ahead, a half ahead. But this week, which has been the coldest week that I've had to use it, I've switched and opened up the app and it's like, oh, we've got a bit of a problem with the Nest app. I'm like, oh, you bastards, why do you update your system when it's my time to switch off? And they did it 2 days running. I'm kind of like, And then I tried to do it from the office and I couldn't even do it while I was on the same wireless. Okay, there's something gone wrong with the Wemo, so I have to completely delete it and then reinstall it and set it up again. And I probably have to do that with the Wemo once every 2 months.
Wow, right.
It just suddenly loses itself. And it's usually when it says it wants to do a firmware update and I haven't applied the firmware update, to be fair. It then just suddenly disappears. And I think what happens is that the app and the firmware for the device are aligned. It says, oh, can we do an update to the firmware? And it wants to do an update to the firmware and then update the application. I think what it does is updates the application and then the firmware won't talk. So
Now with the Wemo switches... There was an issue where if you hadn't done the firmware update before the daylight saving change happened, then they were just kind of borked until you did a full reset on them.
It worked just fine last week, and then this week I got a firmware update, and I didn't do it on about Thursday or Friday last week, and then this week it just suddenly didn't work. And now I've done the firmware update, I've updated the application on my phone, and it works just fine. So.
But Jeff, do you reckon that fails every so often?
I've noticed. I mean, it does it once every 2 months, perhaps, and I've noticed that it's only happened for a couple of 4 months. But I've noticed that it seems to do it when it says it wants to do a firmware upgrade. That seems to be like a pattern that I've picked up.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, I've got four, and I've not had that problem. I'm gonna keep a close eye out for that.
But do you update the firmware though when it asks you to?
Yeah.
You see, there's your problem. I didn't.
I see. I've got two Wemos on order. I said, Ewan says it's all good.
No, I did held my hand up here and I did say, I think it's because I didn't apply the firmware update and then the app on the phone updates itself. And because I didn't apply the firmware update, I think that's when it goes wrong. And I've noticed a lot of stuff on comments on Amazon is I didn't apply the firmware update or the firmware was applied and then it didn't work afterwards. So.
I was looking right now to see if my Wemo switch has a firmware update. Apparently, I'm up to date.
Yeah, no, mine's, as soon as I've updated mine are always working just fine. But I've noticed the last two times when they've blipped out, it's been around a time when there was a firmware update to the switch that I haven't done. So,
Jeff, does it say in that article which model of the Nest is affected by that? Or is it all?
It does not specify.
Right, okay.
I'm just curious
because I've literally, like weeks ago, got the third generation model of it. So
bad luck, dude.
this is not a good article to read right now.
I would assume that any Nest thermostat is susceptible to this bug because they did not specify. Just safer that way.
Making matters worse, the lack of recourse that's available means that 8,000 Word Service Agreement section says disputes and arbitration which prohibits customers from suing the company or joining any class action lawsuits as a result of any failures.
Yeah, so they've done a really good job of making sure you have no recourse.
Well, that wouldn't apply in the UK because that's an unfair contract term. You can't do that.
Right.
Yeah,
and part of the problem here is that the Nest thermostat requires an internet connection to do its thing, which the Echo Bee does not. I mean, you know, if you want to remote control your thermostat, of course you need that internet access. But for the Echo Bee just to have a schedule where it's doing its thing, your Wi-Fi network can be totally offline and it will still work.
Mm.
So I'm kind of glad that I hooked up an Echo Bee in my place as opposed to a Nest.
Totally good. Thanks to AZ for posting a shitload of pictures in the chat room of Guinness tins. Cheers, dude.
Guinness cam.
Thanks, man. It's Guinness cam. Yeah, righto.
I love it. Guinness Cam.
This podcast and all this is brought to you by UK2. They're absolutely awesome. They gave us, it's 7 years now, they've given us all the bandwidth that we want and all the stories that we want. We've got 4 terabytes of shows that are out there. And they give you loads of discounts. So if you go to britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors, you'll find all the discounts that UK2 offer to British tech customers. You get loads off, absolutely loads off. And also they provide us with the servers that allow us to do NQL, so you can watch when we're not around. So go to britishtechnetwork.com/live and click on play, and you will see shows from the past. And one of the really cool things that's happened this week, Anders has set it up for us, is that now you'll get a video show, a video show, a video show, and then you'll get a news show. So you will get the tech news that is currently around at the moment. So you will pay one of 3 news shows of the last 3 days, and then it'll recycle. And then just every so once in and often, it'll play the news show from that day, the year before, or the year before, or the year before. If we've got one on the server for that date, it will play that show. So you can see what the tech news was a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 8 years ago, if it's on the server. There you go.
Well, that's fun.
That is cool. But the new show is now on as well. It'll be a static picture pop-up of Kyle, and you can do that. Kyle did something like 212 news shows for us last year. And you sit and think, okay, Kyle does the news show every day. And it's, and when he writes to me, he says, look, I'm sorry, Matt, I'm really stuck in traffic. I'm not going to be able to do a news show today. I'm like, yeah, it's fine. Don't worry about it. I'm thinking, yeah, okay, there's another news show that Kyle hasn't done, but it's 212 a year. That's phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. There's only something like 239 working days available in a year. This guy hits the mark every day, the news show. Go and get it. britishnetwork.com/news, and you will get your daily update of news from Carl Swagger. It's superb. It's the one of the best shows on the network. I won't say it's the best because, you know,
big show.
He'll charge us too much then. if you'd like to donate to patreon.com as well, that's what pays for Kyle to do the new show. So patreon.com/British Tech Network. We've got 2 of our Patreon stars in here. Martin and Muller both give us $10 a month. Izzy, do you give? You do as well, $10 as well. So there you go. There's $30 sat in the room, which is why I'm being really nice to them.
Yes.
This is really nice.
Free Guinness to everyone that comes. There we go. See? So. No, cool things. Camps, start us off, stick it in the chat room, dude.
There you go. So my cool thing, so probably about a month ago, something like that, my cool thing was Lumina City, game on the App Store.
I love that game.
I love that game. Played it quite a lot. And then yesterday, I nipped into Starbucks for a coffee, and app of the week, this week, it's certainly in the UK. Don't know if you have these, I expect you probably do over in the US. The free games from Starbucks is Lumi. So this is the first game in the series. So it's free if you can grab one of these cards if you're anywhere near a Starbucks. I've got a couple here. So if anybody wants to send me a DM via Slack, I can send you a download code for it. I've probably got 5.
There you go. So there's the reason to be in the Slack room.
Yeah. So send me a DM via Slack. I've got about 5 codes to give away. First 5 people to drop me a message, I'll send them a code. I can't guarantee it'll work outside the UK, though, but happy to send it anyway.
I think the codes are region-specific.
Right. In that case, then UK.
Bugger.
So how much is it? Because I've already downloaded it, I can't see how much it is.
It's £1.49.
Great game. Exactly the same scenario as Lumina City. It's beautifully crafted. It's a series of animation and real paper backgrounds and sets. Very similar sort of storyline in terms of puzzles to complete. Lovely little game, so highly recommend Lumi, and if you've not played it yet, Lumino City.
Okay.
Well, that's cool.
Excellent, mate. Good choice. Thank you very much. Jeffrey, what do you have for us?
Well, I'm going to give you a choice. Because I had one product that I was ready to show, but I haven't talked about grown-up sex toys for a while, so would you rather have that?
Yeah, go for it. No, come on. Please.
Silly question.
All right, here we go.
Show us the shaft.
Oh, sure. We'll do that one instead. Yes. Here you go. Here's our smart...
Oh, my... So they seriously... How the hell are you going to review that, man? You're a dude. What the hell do you want with a vibrating dildo?
I need to enlist the aid of a special someone in my life.
Hey, so what you're saying is, if you tickle your, if you tickle your nose and your nose runs, then it's a good vibrator. Isn't that the test of blokes?
Isn't that how we test them all?
That's how you're supposed to test them. Yeah, it's good. Okay, a good vibrator makes your nose run.
This but is maybe I'm holding it wrong too. And so it connects to your iPhone via Bluetooth, and then it has controls so that you can do a bunch of preset patterns for
do
your special
unboxing,
someone.
Jeff, do an unboxing.
Do you want an unboxing?
Yeah. Normally Chris likes having the plastic put on, but he wants to see it taken off.
Oh. All right. Here
Chris,
we go. Here
I think the way that thing works, it's supposed to be an unboxing.
First you have to get it out, put it in.
Semantics.
That's right. Okay. So while I'm getting the wrapper for your safety and hers off of this, you can also record your own audio or use other audio like music on your iPhone to control the vibrations.
So that's the original iTouch.
Yeah, it's the original iTouch. Oh, check it out. It has a nice manual. charges through USB.
How many women read the manual on a dildo? I mean, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, if you need a manual, you're holding it wrong.
Case.
What this the hell was that?
It's a carrying case.
I thought that was a blindfold or something.
And there you go.
Oh my God.
And are you going to switch it on for us?
Okay, so it charges from a little hole on that end. But just the business end, which actually does not have a hole.
But how much does it charge?
I'm assuming it charges all the way to 11. And let's see, how does it... Okay, so we'll drop the cable down in the little pouch. And the vibrator in the pouch.
So that's the part where you insert it in the little pouch?
Check it out. It all fits in the little pouch.
Back out and insert it again?
No, I've got to say, Jeff, I think
you... You insert it like this.
No, stop doing that, Jeff. I think, Jeff, you focused on the wrong unique selling point of the Omibod. Because isn't that to do with the fact that it can be remotely triggered?
Yes, it can be remotely
right.
triggered.
Right, that's what I think is the unique selling point, not the fact that it goes in and out of the little white bag.
No, I did that just for Doc's pleasure.
Okay, right, good.
But yeah, you can control it over Wi-Fi. So you can control it remotely, and that means that you and someone
well,
could have fun with this, even if you're not in the same room.
Yeah, so it connects via the internet is basically, and you can trigger it via the internet. And there's places that as I was educating Martin earlier on, there's places you can go where you can pay tokens and it activates it automatically. Bronwyn has said, "Wow, she's fallen off a chair by the sounds. 15 seconds charge and it lasts 30 minutes." So there you go.
There you go.
Maybe that's long enough for you. Maybe it's not.
But
so the question is about the working over the Wi-Fi. Is it kind of a swapping thing if you go over and you got to use somebody else's Wi-Fi, like on the guest network?
Well, yeah, but as long as you're using their Wi-Fi and thinking of the other Wi-Fi, it's okay.
Yeah, okay. Because so it's not Wi-Fi, it's Wi-Fi.
It's internet, mate. It's full internet.
Correct.
You
it's connect Wi-Fi, not
Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi. Oh, very good.
All right, and I took the time to find a link for you. There you go. So I can even tell you how much this thing costs. It is $129 in stock.
I've got a thing in my head. What is the demographic of listeners to the British Tech Network that would click that link and go, shit, can't wait to get me one of those?
Well, considering how many people...
Well, okay, Campion's just adjusted his glasses, so there's one.
I'm so go to your gynecologist and explain you're having DNS issues. I'm sorry, I quit.
Okay. I quit. Doc, is it your turn for a cool thing?
Holy crap.
Yeah, that one, Doc.
I've got to train at 20 to 6 in the morning, you bastards.
Oh, my God.
Doc, what's the link, mate? What's the link? What's your pick? Come on. Let's do it.
And I don't even have one right now. I would
okay,
tell you,
I'll move on.
I got one. First of all, I'm going to do a quick product update. I finally got it, and it's just as epic as we thought it was going to be. This is my new rooster we waited for. It's stronger than hell. It works really great with the iPad Pro. It folds down to that. We've talked about it a billion times in the show, and that's it. But my pick will be go onto Netflix, now that I know that you can see it in the UK, and watch Making a Murderer. And if you can watch only one show without being addicted to watch at least three in a row, I kind of binged on half the season in one night and half the season the other night, and I almost never binge TV. But I was so intrigued about how jacked up what happened to this guy happened to this guy. So may I suggest you go watch Making a Murderer on Netflix, and don't do any Switch witchery because it is available in the UK, from what I understand from Mr. Champs.
Okay.
Paul, you liked Serial, didn't you?
Oh, yes, said?
Love it.
Yeah, you'll love
it. Yeah, it reminds me of Serial. That's exactly correct.
I was just about to say the same thing, yeah.
You'll love it.
Hey, okay. Doc, I'm going to totally back you up on that stand. I got one last week at CES, and it's freaking awesome. And I love that it comes with that carrying case, too.
Yeah, and it's laser engravable. Mine says a super backer, because I was one of the... back, but this is amazing. It's so light. It's so much lighter than the other one, stronger than the other one. It's incredible. And you and Hazel is talking about it because we probably all liked it about 80 times, but now that I got the new one, it's even better. So if you haven't thought about upgrading it, upgrade it.
I didn't like the roost, I have to say.
This new one.
I'm joking. Righty boy.
Well, there's a game I've been playing for the last couple of days. It's the free app of the week on the iOS store. It's Lifeline, which is funny to say, it's a text-based adventure game. So the premise is that you're talking to somebody who's crash-landed on the planet. And literally the whole game is text. So they're sending you messages and you're sending them guides. You know, do this, do that. And you might tell them to do something and they'll go away for 10 minutes. And then your phone will update and say, I've done this. And you'll say, well, go and do that. But the great thing is it's adapted for Apple Watch as well. So you can get the updates from this chap who's crash landed on some planet somewhere and you can guide them on your phone. It's just like, it's like one of those old BBC micro games.
Oh, you know, that's like cool.
It's great.
Type left, type N for north and all that sort of thing. But he's like, where shall I go next? And you go, try the lab, try the kitchen, all that sort of thing. And he literally goes away for 10 minutes and he'll come back and he'll update you. He goes, I found nothing in there. Shall I try the lab? And you do that. But on the Apple Watch, it's really cool. And it's free this week. So absolutely brilliant.
You end up you feel like you're developing a connection to the little astronaut. It's bizarre.
It's weird. Like, look at my phone now. Like he's talking to me now. He's sent me like five updates. He's looking for things, and it's just like the best. It's like the old, most retro style of game, but just so much fun, and it's free.
There are some reviews of this, by the way. Mimi has written, "What a gorgeous game! Loved it to the end, and personally loved the attitude of the lead character. He was relatable, and honestly began to feel a bit tense and nervously excited around or scared when he was faced with some of the situations he was in. Absolutely attached to it. I only wish it were longer." But Jay has written, "I'll be honest. By the end of the game, I actually wanted the guy to die. He's just a whiny, annoying git."
Yeah, he's the guy's character is a bit
whiny and annoying,
sarky and stuff. So either you like him or you won't, I think. But
it's a Marmite game. Good one, mate. I've downloaded that, but I haven't played it yet.
It's good fun.
I might not want to start it because I might not get off the toilet. Dr. Sexy, what have you got, mate?
I was going to mention that one as well, but I haven't.
Right, you've stolen more than just what your story tonight, mate.
Well done, sir.
I can't, my nerves can't deal with this. but the one I think I put it in the doc, and it's an app called Pause. It's made by the company Us2, who made Monument Valley. So it looks absolutely beautiful when you're using it. And it's a relaxation app. You know, if you've never learned how to sort of meditate or anything like that, it's a really easy way of doing that. And apparently, according to the App Store, it's been verified by, sort of collaborating with EEG data and stuff like that. But basically what happens is you turn it on, it talks you through what you need to do, and you touch your finger to the screen, and then it says start moving your finger around the screen. As you slowly move your finger around the screen, you you have like a little sort of pulsating blob underneath your finger, and these like sort of little blobs come to join it, and it grows in size as you do it. And there's nice relaxing music playing whilst you do it. It's definitely a one to do with a good pair of headphones on. A nice sort of relaxing music playing, birds tweeting and all sorts of things like this. And then after a while it prompts you to close your eyes. And you close your eyes and you keep slowly moving your finger about the screen. If you take your finger off, the app pauses, as the name says. So you have to keep engaged. You have to keep engaged with this whilst you're doing it, and you could set the time that you want to do it for and things like that. But even if you just do it for, I've been trying it with just for like a quick 5 minutes, and even that, you kind of just feel that little bit calmer after you've done it. It's nice, really nice and relaxing. So I think it was £1.49. It's definitely worth it.
Yeah, £1.49, $1.99.
And it looks really good. And you know, like I say, if you want a way to help you relax and wind down, it only takes you 5 minutes to do it. Definitely worth a try.
Cool.
Excellent, mate. Excellent. Bronwyn in the chat room has said there's a joke in there somewhere about fingers and pulsating blobs.
That's why I chuckled a bit. If you're searching for it, by the way, a little tip: if you put you need to put a dot and then pause and then dot to help you find it in app stores. It doesn't come up that easily. There's a lot of other apps called Pause.
I put Pause app and it came up straight away. So.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. They're obviously, I think the more popular you are, the
that's true. Yeah.
Easier you
yeah.
are to find. So since you found it, probably a few other people have found it since.
That's true.
My cool thing, I'm not a DIY person at all, and I've got a couple of DIY picks. Someone actually wrote in and said that they bought the Ryobi system that I recommended before Christmas and said it was the best thing since sliced bread. They absolutely adore it, so thank you for that, because I'm not a great DIY person. My cool thing this week, though, on the big show is a piece of tech called, it's the Bosch DLE40. And you're going, okay, well, what does that do, Ewan? Well, basically, it's a measure. No, it's a measure. So you switch it on, and it starts, and it's got a little readout on it. And then when you press the laser measurement, it clicks on the laser measurement. There we go. And it becomes active. And what you're measuring now is the distance from the back edge of this to the ceiling above me. It is 0.82, 0.83, 0.84, 0.85. There you go. It's a laser measuring device. So it either measures from the back here, or if you want to measure it up from a wall or something like that, you can measure it from the front. You just need to change the setting. There's a point here, look, where it says measure from the back, measure from the front. And it's super tiny. It is really tiny. And one of the things that I've done in the past is taken a couple of pictures from locations where I've had to set the tripod up in the same location each time. So I carry this around with me, and I can get the tripod in exactly the same location. Height-wise, distance-wise, everything. Before I used tape measures. But I just carry this around in a camera bag now. It's nice and light, runs off 4 AAA batteries, and it was £30 at Costco.
Wow.
There you go.
Sweet.
And if you get to the stage where you're like, okay, I want that measurement to be held, you just click the button and it holds it for you, so then you can move it up and down and it doesn't change. It's really cool. I really love it.
You know, I bought one of those for my friend for a Christmas present because of same thing, photography and video business. It's great for focusing.
Yeah, if you want to know the distance, it's spot on. I mean, it's there's like millimeters, and it shows you like a half millimeter measurement as well, which is just like unbelievable. For £30, it's really awesome. And I make a lot of like display boards and stuff for places, so they say, oh, can you measure the wall? So you just put a piece of paper up at one end and tape it on with a bit of gaffer tape, and then go to the other end and put another piece of cardboard up, and then just measure to the piece of paper that you've taped on the other wall, so it's easy to measure. You can go
okay.
Yeah, Bosch makes epic stuff, by the way. I have my Martin's table saw, circular saw, router, drills, everything, all Bosch. I love Bosch.
Yeah, yeah. Martin's just saying he bought one of these a couple of years ago, and it was £90. There you go, £30. DLE40, Bosch DLE40 measure, laser measure. There you go. Where can we get a hold of you, Monsieur Campion?
I'm Campion UK on Twitter. Most Thursday nights in on the big show, or if I'm not on the big show, I'm in the chat room watching the big show, and in the Slack room Loving the Slack room.
Slack room's awesome. If you want to get in the Slack room, just send me an email to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com and type let me in the Slack room or Slack room, and I'll send you the conditions of entry, which is not particularly hard. It's just don't be an arse. And I'll send you an invite. There you go. And you're in. And there's quite a few of us in there at the moment. And it's gone a bit mental today. I was complaining this morning or last night that it's gone a bit quiet this week. But actually, it's gone mental today. So it's good. It's when camping works from home. Paulum says, touch my blob, ladies. And Bronwyn says that she is now touching Paulum's blob. I hope your wife knows.
Oh yeah,
Jeffrey Gamut, where can we get your blob? I mean, where can we get a hold of you?
You can get my blob pretty much at any pub we
hang you
out
blob
at.
Anywhere, mate.
But
you blob left, right, and center.
That's not an option today. How about on Twitter? I'm Jay Gamut, and same on Instagram. I'm at macobserver.com, and I am on a bunch of podcasts all over the internet.
No kidding.
So I'm easy to find.
Downloads went down by 80% last week when you weren't here and you were at CES.
Sorry about that.
No, not ours. I'm talking about other people's. Ours stay up all the time because we're popular.
Oh, great, so. Great. Excellent. But yes, you're right. Everyone else's downloads probably declined.
Plummeted. Dr. Roctacus, where are you, mate?
I just got delivered a plate of epic garlic chicken. Oh. If you guys are ever in Hawaii, I'll take you to get this. This stuff's off the hook. Anyway, all over the internet at DLC, R-O-C-K, and thinking about a new startup called Dildo Observer with my buddy, Jeff Cameron.
Mate, get down to the one-eyed end of that and get it posted, mate. That'd be
That's
perfect.
Right. Views are on the rise.
Views are views are limited. And get on with sending me that vastly overpriced flask that you promised.
I'm going to work on it right now as soon as I finish this garlic chicken.
That. No,
nothing comes between black man and chicken, so you got
to
wait.
No, exactly. If there was grits on that, that'd be it. You wouldn't even be talking to me. next to him. You don't know what grits are, do you, Righty?
We don't have them in Norfolk.
No, mate, you don't. If you know what grits were, you'd understand. But Righty boy, where are you, buddy?
I'm at rightysblob.com and... in the Slack room.
Bronwyn stopped stroking your blob because she's now thinking about grits and butter. That's what it means.
Oh, yeah. Charming.
Yeah.
Enlighten me.
Okay. And last but by no means least, Dr. Sexy, where are you, buddy?
Already told you. Oh,
what's that?
I said I already told you.
Sorry. Wrong one.
Yeah, the one that's actually got the doctorate.
Rich Harkness on Twitter, Human V2 website. I'm also doing some stuff on YouTube now as well. If you have a look for Human V2 on YouTube, but if you follow on Twitter, I usually post everything on there on all the links and stuff. So
excellent, mate. Good to have you. We are back. Start of the new year. We're here to stay. Sorry if you get upset with us, but never mind. We'll be back again next week, same time, Thursday nights. News. Don't forget that the new show is on every day, Monday to Friday. Please check out Kyle's show because it's absolutely superb. And Gamer Show is back on Monday as well. And after my famous victory in the Christmas quiz, don't forget now, we're recording the Mac Show and the Big Show on Thursday nights. So Mac Show at 7 p.m, Big Show at 9 p.m. And it's fantastic. We've got loads more people coming. We've got a bigger chat room because of it. And but the only bad side is I've got to get a train at 26 in the morning. See you next week. Thanks for listening.
Bye.